Evening. Welcome to our Monday evening service, our Thursday night service. Monday comes from the Latin for commandment, a new commandment Jesus gave his disciples that eve of the Lord's Supper, that they would love one another as he had loved them. And so this evening, we celebrate the love of Christ, the love of Christ in sacrificing himself, a death by his death, that we may have a life by his life. Would you pray with me and then we'll read God's word together. Father in heaven, how thankful we are this evening that we can come to receive. For truthfully, we have not. But you give and give and give again. And so, Father, we pray that you would open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to hear your word, that we might receive the good news that is unending, the good news that surprises, and the good news that lasts in the death and resurrection of your Son. Draw us near. Speak to us now. By the power of your word and the power of your spirit, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a couple of verses tonight from Romans chapter 6, from the Apostle Paul in reflecting on death and life. Romans 6, 5, 10, and 11. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. It was a Thursday evening. It was a preparation for the Passover. And Jesus had gathered his disciples around that they might have a meal. Jesus was preparing. His disciples were actually pretty clueless. They knew about Passover, but they were clueless to what it would really mean, at least this Passover, as Jesus would tell his disciples of the coming death and coming resurrection. Jesus, after supper, would walk to a hill and begin to pray. He would charge his disciples to pray with him, and as they would falter in prayer, he would rouse them. But again and again, they would falter until Jesus was arrested in the wee hours of the night. In the wee hours of the night, a mob came and they took him and they tried him and they beat him. By early morning, tomorrow morning, Jesus was preparing to go to the cross, wrongly accused, wrongly prosecuted, wrongly condemned, but beaten to a bloody pulp. He was taken the way of Calvary. On his way, he got so weak that a man named Cyrus of Cyrene had to carry his cross for him. And by the third hour, that's 9 a.m., by the third hour, Jesus was placed upon a cross. As we read a little earlier in Mark chapter 15, there were those, as Jesus was placed upon a cross, there were those who came wagging. It was a death like others, but then again, it was a death like none other. 9 a.m. in the morning, people came by. They were slandering Jesus, wagging their head and their fingers at Jesus. Come down. Come down, you who would tear down the temple. Come down. By noon, the sixth hour of the day, it went dark. Passover, full moon. But still, it went dark. And for 3 hours, from noon until 3, there was utter darkness in the land as Jesus absorbed the wrath, the anger, the judgment for sin. At that ninth hour, 3 p.m., Jesus uttered in a loud cry, my God, why have you forsaken me? And then it is finished. And into my hands, O Father, I commit my spirit. And he died. It was a death like others in that it was a crucifixion, but it was a death like none other. Because by that death, death was killed. And by the life to come, which Jesus was raised, life would come. You know, death is something that we all deal with. And the truth tonight is that the best part of the story of Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and Easter Sunday is that in a death and a burial and a resurrection, death dies and life lives. And we live in death and life connected to Christ. Dominion of sin has been thwarted. It has been turned away. The dominion of sin has been overturned that we might have freedom. It was a few years ago, in the Bronx in New York City, a man named Herschel Schachter. Rabbi Herschel Schachter died at 95 years of age. You may not know that name, but some 70-plus years earlier, he had been the chaplain with the Third Army, with Patton's famous Third Army, when they entered Buchenwald. And that concentration camp was freed. The soldiers went in first, and they went in and they freed the Jewish men who were in the barracks. But the men wouldn't come out of the barracks. They figured they were just changing one set of uniforms for another. And so as Schachter, the rabbi, came into the camp, he walked into the barracks and he began to say, Shalom Aleichem Yidam. Shalom Aleichem Yidam. I sent free. Peace be upon you, Jews. Peace be upon you, Jews. You are free. Peace be upon you. You are free. Slowly at first, men began to exit the barracks. Malnourished, weak, abused, and freedom began to take hold. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be upon you. You are free. That's what the cross and the resurrection teach us. That's the heart of Paul's message here in Romans chapter 6. You see, sin does no longer have dominion over those who are united to Christ in a death and in a life. You know, there is constantly that sin that whispers in our ear, I own you. I own you. I own you. But the truth is that the gospel constantly proclaims in our ear, you are free, you are free, you are free. And we are free because of a death by His death and a life by His life. And that's the heart of Paul here in Romans chapter 6, verse 5. For the death He died to sin once and for all. That's verse 10. But the life he lives to God. For verse 5, if you have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Death by his death. There really are two categories of death, and we all exist in one of those categories this evening. You are either dead to Jesus, or you have died with Jesus. Two categories of death that affect us all this evening. You are either dead to Jesus or you have died with Jesus. You see, that's the heart of Paul's gospel here, that this union with Christ, this idea of being dead to Jesus, is to be controlled, dominated by sin. A little later in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, he'll say this, for the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Over in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3, Paul would say this, and you were dead in your trespasses and in your sins, in which you once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind, but God. Two conditions, dead to Christ or dead with Christ. And the heart of the gospel here tonight is that what Jesus did in a death was that He freed us from death, a death and dominion of sin. The old self has passed away, Paul begins to say here in Romans 6. For we have been united with Him in a death like His. We want to be united to death. We want to be united to Christ's death at the cross. Because it's a death that ends our death. It's a death that ends the domination and dominion and power of sin. Sin is still a remnant, but sin no longer reigns. See, here's the good news for Maundy Thursday and a Good Friday and an Easter, a risen celebration, is that death has lost its grip. Because death is a defeated foe in the death of Christ. The death he died to sin once for all. There's the good news that holds us together this evening, that we are a part of this union with Christ because he has given himself for us. You can no longer be a slave to what you have died to. When Jesus died for sin, we had the privilege of dying to sin. The favor of Christ frees us. And so we serve and live under a new master. Today I was reading about Aggie football. Some of you might be reading about Aggie football too in spring training. And the article was about Nick Starkel and Kellen Mond and their work with a new coach, Jimbo Fisher. And Jimbo Fisher, I suppose, at least from the article, is much more hands-on than the former coach. And so they were talking about the things that they were learning from their new coach and how hands-on he was and how he took charge of position practice and how he took charge of calling. And they are learning from a new coach. You know, if Kevin Sumlin came back to practice tomorrow, he said to Kellen Mond or Nick Starkel, "Hey, guys, I don't want you to listen to that stuff anymore. I want you to remember the old ways. This is the way you've got to do it." What would they say? You have no voice here anymore. You have no place here anymore. You have no power here anymore. You see, there's a new sheriff in town. And the heart of what Paul is saying here when he speaks to us about this death by his death is that sin is a power that is defeated and it has no power over our lives anymore. There's a new sheriff in town, and because Jesus is king over us, his death assures a death to sin and its reign over us. You see, there must be a yes before there can be a no. We must say yes before we can truly say no. And here's the yes. We say yes to the death of Christ for us, that we may be united to his death. This evening, we are either dead to Christ or we have died with Christ. But that is our freedom. You notice there again, this idea of union on a Maundy Thursday is to remind us that this death had purpose. But this death had direction. For if you have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. You see, the idea here is that death leads to life because Jesus is a champion over death and a champion unto life. We have hope of life eternal. And not just life to come, but life particularly now. That resurrection life is alive to those who are dead to the dominion of sin by faith in Christ Jesus. It's this idea here that drives the way we live. You see, death by his death leads to life by his life. And we are called to rest, to be alive in him. Why? Because verse 10, "But the life he lived to God." Therefore, since we are alive in Christ, you also must consider yourselves dead to sin, verse 11, and alive to God in Christ Jesus. You see, there's this picture of two inseparable connections. A death to sin is life in Christ. Now, you may not know this, but actually this is the first imperative in the book of Romans. After five chapters or more, here in verse 11 is the first command. And the command from Paul on behalf of the work, the justifying work of Christ, is so also you must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. It's a command. to live in the life of Christ. They are certainly connected. It's this if then. If you are united with Christ in His death, then you shall certainly be united with Him in His life and the power of His resurrecting love. It's that that's the heart that drives us through this season, through every week, through every day. When sin comes and whispers in your ear late at night, say midnight in front of the refrigerator, "You need this. I own you." You are free to live in opposition to sin. When somebody in front of you cuts you off at the light and swerves in and takes over and you want to shake your fist and sin in your heart says, "I own you." You're free to say, "I live in the life of Christ." Today I was meeting with somebody down on Rock Prairie, and a little lady pulled out in front of a big guy, and as the guy went by, he was honking his horn and shaking his hand, and this little old lady, she looked at him and she just shook her fist. It's easy to give in, isn't it? It's almost comical as you stand on the sidelines. But when you are captured by the desire, your internal clock, your internal compass may lie to you and say, "I have no control here." But the gospel says the life that He lived is the life that is alive in us. That resurrection power that was at work in raising Jesus from the dead is the same power that is at work in us to crush the dominion of sin that we may live unto the glory of Jesus. It's this picture. It's a license to live not for self, but for Christ. To live not unto self, but unto Christ. To live under Christ. And to put away those things that seek to control us. You see, the heart of Paul here is that we would live the way Jesus lives. Who died once for sin, but whose life he lives to God. There's the power of the cross and the resurrection at work. It's a patterned life. He lived under the Father. We live under the Father. And it's also this prevailing life, because you can see that we must consider ourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. You see, God, He prevails on us in a death by His death, in a life by His life. And so there is this invitation before we come to the table this evening to live by faith. To shut away the whispers that say, "I own you." The sinful whispers that come and say, "I own you." And to live in the newness of life. You see, when Jesus comes, the old is gone and the new has come. And we are new creations. And the gospel gives us freedom to live in the newness of life. You see, the heart of this is to free us. It's to free us that amidst this life and its hardships, we have hope, joy, peace, and grace because of the work of Christ. In 1849, a man named Adoniram Judson was serving as a missionary in the country of Burma. He had been there 37 years. Adoniram had spent the last 37 years serving the Burmese people. During that time, he had been arrested. He had been beaten. He had suffered disease again and again in a tropical climate, in a jungle-like atmosphere. He had been sick over and over and over again. It had been a hard and desperate 37 years. But in that 37 years as a missionary, the Burmese people, he could also say that he had translated the Bible in the Burmese language. That all of the nation could read the gospel and the whole Bible in their native tongue. During that time, because he wanted others to follow him in service to this nation, in the service of Christ, translated a dictionary, a Burmese to English, English to Burmese dictionary, so some others could come after him and teach. Founded 63 churches. Could count more than 7,000 conversions in those 37 years as people were coming to Christ. Near the end of his days, and one of his last bouts with sickness, one evening he was sitting talking to his wife, and he says, "You know what? I do not tire of my work, and I do not tire of this world. But if Jesus comes calling for me, I will bound towards him with gladness as a schoolboy bounds with joy out of the schoolyard." He was a man who knew more than this death in life. He knew a death by a death and a life by a life. And tonight we're called to believe. To believe that we are united to the work of another, who in time and space came, died, and rose again for us. We are called to believe, to put our faith in the death of another, in the resurrection of another, to be our death to sin and our life eternally. And the question is, do you belong? Do you rest? Do you hope this evening in the good work of a Savior? Death by his death, life by his life, because the love of Christ holds us fast. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, how thankful we are that you have given Christ the North Star to our spiritual existence. And this evening, I pray that you would show us afresh, anew, and powerfully how personal the cross and the resurrection are. That a death for us is life to us. Would you help us, Father, to know who we are, that we might die to sin and live to Christ for your honor. And Father, for those who need you this evening in new and fresh ways, would you remind them of the gift that is ours in Jesus, the Savior, whose death frees us, and whose resurrection power guides us all our days. Father, help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.